came to the tomb first, and stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter therefore also came, following him, and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb entered then also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came, announcing to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. Lord, would you add your blessing to the reading, the preaching of these words, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For Mary, all hope was lost. Just a few days earlier, she was among those who watched from a distance as Jesus died in agony on the cross. Later, she followed behind to see where his body would be buried. And on this sad morning, she went with other women to further anoint his body with spices to give him a proper burial. That was all that was left to do. She had first met Jesus when he was ministering in the region of Galilee. Her hometown, Magdala, was located there. That's why they called her Mary of Magdala, or Mary the Magdalene, or Mary Magdalene. We don't know the details, but she's described as one whom Jesus had freed from 7 demons. She was one of a number of women whom Jesus had healed and cast out demons as he ministered in that area. And these women accompanied the 12 and ministered to Jesus as he traveled around their region. He had changed her life so drastically. She had been so hopeful. But all hope had died with him on the cross. Now she merely wanted to give him a proper burial, to put it all behind her, to place a period at the end of the sentence, as it were. So hurrying on ahead, Mary was the first to see the stone had been rolled away. Tears immediately began to flood her eyes. This was unimaginable, inconceivable. She had already lost her teacher, her friend, the one who had given back her sanity, the one who had virtually saved her life. Now the possibility that enemies had stolen his body to desecrate it was more than she could bear. If only she could find his body, she would hold on to him one more time and never let go. When hope is lost in our own hearts, our hearts become crushed. And we desperately cling to anything we can find that reminds us of what we've lost. Only the risen Lord, the Lord of life, can transform our sorrow to joy once again. Only the risen Jesus can pry our clinging hands free from what we once held dear to enable us to move on once again. Since by Jesus' resurrection, the risen Lord transforms man's weeping to joy and grasping to going, we must live by faith with open hands and open hearts. We can and we must live with open hearts even as we struggle in this life. We're in a spiritual battle from the time that Adam and Eve fell until the time that Jesus returns. We are engaged in a spiritual battle. The living Lord comes to open our hearts once again on this Easter morning. Even when our hearts are crushed by the disappointments and the tragedies of life, we can find hope once again. Let's look at the state of Mary's heart through her tears on this day. Mary's tears began as tears of unbelief, didn't they? Her heart was crushed. Her grief was inconsolable. She ran to find Peter and John, saying in verse 2, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him. And a second time, when the angels ask why she's weeping, she says in verse 13, because they've taken away my Lord, I don't know where they've laid him. And then a third time, when Jesus asks the same question, she replies in verse 15, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him and I will take him away. Here's a picture of all who believe only in a dead Jesus. For some, he may have lived and done good things and had many followers, but when he died, that was the end of it. These are the fatalists who live among us and around us. They believe that when you're dead, you're dead. Jesus is no different than the rest of us. They are like those who grieve, who have no hope, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. They cry tears of unbelief that are hopeless. But Mary's tears were not only those of unbelief, they were also tears of lost love. Her heart was filled with many good memories of Jesus. He had freed her from 7 demons. He had been her friend, her teacher, her Lord at one time, but now he was gone. Here's a picture of love for Jesus, the man. You and I may have good memories of Jesus from our childhood or from Bible storybooks that our parents or grandparents read to us, or Sunday school or summer Bible school when we were children. Or you may be aware that God has saved your life at one time or many times through the years. Some childhood disease or some car accident that miraculously you survived. You may have sensed his love in the past, but now he seems far away. Your tears are of a lost love. But finally, Mary's tears became tears of joy. In her time of grief, when all hope was lost, Jesus came to her. Jesus found her. Jesus called her by name, Mary. Here is a picture of joy known only by those who encounter, who experience in truth the risen Christ. You are the ones who can truly say, I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. In grace, he has called you by name. Martin and Jennifer and Don and Janet and Brian and Kelly and Tom and Melinda and Dorothea and on and on and on. The psalmist reminds us, weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. The risen Lord has transformed our crushed hearts, our distant hearts. He's opened them up to himself. We have open hearts. And as we hear his comforting voice calling our name, as we place our trust in him afresh and anew each day, our weeping can be turned to joy. The weeping that you experienced last night, this morning, can be joy as we turn our faith and trust once again to him. Will you and I allow his transforming power to open our hearts afresh and anew to him today? Mary learned that day that not only to live with an open heart, but also to live with open hands. When Mary finally recognized Jesus, she immediately embraced him. We don't know exactly how, perhaps grasping an arm or his feet, but Jesus says to her in verse 17, "Stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." His words told her that he had not merely risen from the dead as Lazarus had done just a week ago or week before. Lazarus would die again, but Jesus would never die. He would ascend to his Father and live forever. He would be the source of life. "I am the resurrection and the life." Mary began that day to discover that neither death, nor earth, nor heaven, nor she could hold Jesus back. Mary discovered that death could not hold Jesus back. Jesus said further in verse 17, "I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." Peter would later preach on the day of Pentecost, "This man you nailed to a cross and put him to death, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Death could not hold the risen Lord back. But neither can death hold us who trust in him back either. By his own sacrificial death, Jesus overcame the power of death for all who would trust in him. The scripture says, "For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying." Jesus' life would set us free by his sacrificial death. One of our very good friends for many years died in the last 2 weeks. She was the wife of a favorite pastor of ours. Her husband used to say when he preached funerals, "Death is not a period at the end of the sentence of life, but only a comma preparing us for an even greater life ahead. At death, we step from this life into the next life with the risen Lord." Mary would soon discover that also that earth could not hold Jesus back. Not only death, but even the earth couldn't hold Jesus back. 40 days later, Jesus acted out a parable by ascending to heaven in the disciples' sight. He could come and go as he wished, yet he wanted to show them that he was able, that God would raise him even to heaven to sit at his right hand. He was going to the Father. Earth could not hold him back. Neither can earth hold us back. Jesus promised earlier, "There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything's ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am." This earth is not our permanent home. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you and me who trust in him. He's gone before us also so that we need not be afraid in this life or in the next life. Mary would also soon discover that heaven can't hold Jesus back. Heaven can't hold Jesus back. Jesus told his disciples earlier, "It's to your advantage that I go away, For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now Jesus can be present with us wherever we are. Through the gospel, his word and his life and his light is spreading to every corner of the world. In his day, only those in his little area could worship and praise him. But now, by his Spirit, he can be present with us wherever he is, wherever we are, by his Spirit. And finally, Mary learned that even she couldn't hold Jesus back. She wanted to cling to the familiar Jesus, the Jesus who had walked with her on the earth, who had healed her of her, sent out those evil spirits. But that was no longer who he was. That was what he was telling her about ascending to his Father. He was now the risen Lord, ready to move on to the next phase of ministry by his Spirit. We also want to cling to the familiar, to go back to the good old days, back to when our lives began with Christ, perhaps, or back to our first church when everything seemed well, or back to the days when Stonebridge Church just began. This is telling us that he is the risen Lord. He's on the move. It's time for us to open our hands, to look forward to what he desires to do among us, through us in the days and the years ahead. It's time to get a renewed vision of our risen Lord in order to gain a renewed vision for what he's calling us to do here. And to take it one step further, Jesus told Mary in verse 17, "Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and my God and your God." The sun was rising on a new age of mission. Mary couldn't keep Jesus to herself. She couldn't remain clinging to him, holding him to herself. Neither should we try to keep Jesus to ourselves. We need to more and more see the faces and hear the hearts, the voices of those who are hurting, those who are oppressed, the lost in our own neighborhoods, in our own workplaces, in schools and local universities. They must hear and know the good news of Jesus risen, Jesus ascended, and Jesus ever present by his Spirit. You may be one who has lost hope today, like Mary. You may be one who is clinging to the past, like Mary was. Lord, would you enable us to open our hearts afresh and anew today? Would you enable us to release and to open our hands to receive what you would give to us on this day? Lord, we thank you for your glorious resurrection. We thank you for the change that it's made in our relationship to you and the way you're working in the world today. Would you open our hearts afresh? Would you open our hands afresh and anew today? Lord, if there's anyone here who would hear your voice calling his or her name for the first time, would you enable them to hear you clearly? Would they turn and face you and reach out to you by faith, walking away from their sins and reaching out to you, the risen Lord? Lord, I remember the first time I heard that voice when you said through a speaker, if Jesus did rise from the dead, that would make all the difference in the world. And that day I knew you were different than anyone else in the whole world. You were the risen Lord, and you had a claim on my life, and I needed to turn away from sin and turn towards you. Thank you, Lord, for your personal invitation to each one of us. You call out our individual personal name when the time is right. Lord, would some in this room hear your voice for the first time in that way today, we pray. Lord, thank you for our time to be together, to gather, to give glory to our Lord and Savior, for your death on our behalf, and especially for your resurrection, that we might share in your life, that you might receive us unto yourself one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.